The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. I was laughing with Ira during the break. You know, yesterday we talked at length about how Indiana offered $70 million to Brad Stevens. 7 years, $70 million. And I said at the time, man, if you're Mike Woodson, you're like, what the heck, man? What the heck? I mean, does this not make it clear that, like, you were the 27th choice if they offered him 7 years, $70 million? So let's get this straight. You offer him 7 years, $70 million, but you offered and got Mike Woodson for 6 years, 18? I mean, are you serious? Are you serious? A $52 million difference? These coaches, like, man, wow, dude. If that's just not a staggering, sort of reminder of where you fell in the pecking order as far as their coaching search is concerned, should definitely illustrate it to Indiana fans about how deep on their list they had to go. Now, that doesn't mean that Mike Woodson won't wind up being a pretty good coach, but boy, that is a vivid illustration of, man, they did not get even close to their top guy. Couldn't even got their second, third, or fourth guy either if you go from $70 million all the way down to 18. I'm just saying, Mr. Weintraub. Also in the news.
Sam, yesterday, couldn't you, if you're Mike Woodson, if you win a bunch of games your first year, I would walk into my press conference after, like, you know, like winning your 20th game, and you'd be like, I'm a bargain. And I want to raise.
You definitely going to want to raise. Well, you know they have that kind of money. Yeah, I mean, you know they have. They were offering it for Brad Stevens. So definitely some more meat on the bone there for Mike Woodson down the line if he can go there and win. But more relevant in the news yesterday to Michigan fans is that Joe Milton, now former Michigan quarterback Joe Milton, on the move. Looks like, sounds like, reports say Tennessee will be the landing spot. And if you recall, I said that was one of the schools that I was hearing very prominently in the mix was Tennessee. The word was they're telling him that he can come in and be the starter. Word is they're saying he will come in and be the starter. And I don't think that he would be transferring to a spot for anything less. You know, I'd heard Georgia Tech, had heard UCF, but Rocky Top, you know, the opportunity there to go in and take the reins compared to those other programs, definitely, that I just mentioned, definitely higher profile. And we'll see. We'll see how it works out for him. Someone said, I got a few messages yesterday, said, well, what happened? Someone explained to me what happened here, and I'll go over it again. I said at the time when he hit the transfer portal, I think that he never got over getting sent to the bench last year in that Rutgers game. I think that his faith and trust in the opportunity. First of all, I think he felt like he shouldn't have been benched, and I just I don't think that there was really a choice at that point. Had been given an ample opportunity, and in fairness, got to point out that he had that injury going back to the Michigan State game, and you could see. You could certainly see a difference in his accuracy from that point on. It was more inconsistent with it, and that's just on, that's not taking into account some of the plays that maybe he, where there were misreads or errant throws that came from, poor reading of a defense. I'm just talking about, plays where he saw it and there was an inaccurate throw that you can see now that in retrospect, that hand injury that we alluded to, that we talked about in passing, that was a serious injury. I heard that at times he had problems gripping the football. So that can have an impact on accuracy. But at the time that he was benched, I mean, it was clear that when Cade McNamara came into the game, there was a boost in the production of the offense. I mean, it was clear. Cade came in the game and he performed better. You cannot justify just riding it out, with him for the sake of a guy going in there and showing you that he's down for the team playing with an injury. But you're trying to win games, and if another guy is giving you a better opportunity to do that, you got to give him a good faith effort and a shot to do that. But I think from that point on, he didn't trust that he would get, he would have the kind of opportunity to get the job back that would have warranted staying in his eyes. This is my opinion on it. I just think he didn't trust it anymore. And if you don't have that trust, then yeah, you should hit the portal. But I don't think that there was any, limitation in opportunity. I think he would have had ample opportunity to come back and win that job. But the most important thing is for him to believe that. And he didn't believe that anymore, in my opinion. Thus, he is on his way out. I really think it's as simple as that in the grand scheme of things. So you wish him the best. Meanwhile, as we said before, and we also talked about this while you were out, Ira's Matt Weiss, very definitive in saying Cade McNamara is the guy, is our guy, after a very strong spring and a spring where he was the more consistent performer. So that debate, that back and forth that we had on the show, talking about the hypotheticals, what do you do? Do you go for the upside or you go for consistency? Clearly, we wearing that coaching hat. You want to go with the guy who gives you the best chance to win games right now. And heading into the fall, that guy is clearly Cade McNamara. And I told you, and I think you were on the same wavelength. I'd be very surprised if it would take there would have to be a precipitous decline in performance, in my opinion, for Cade McNamara to not be the guy come opening day.
I agree. I think you're going to get the veteran's got the experience, right? He's been through it a little bit, obviously more so than the other guy coming in who just got on campus, right? The other guy, if it wasn't for early enrolling in a pandemic, would be going to prom in about a month. And so, right. so you do have to keep that in mind as you look at guys that are early enrollees and what their impact can be. But even if JJ doesn't, and this is not going to be the case, but even if he redshirted and didn't play a down this year, it's invaluable to be an early enrollee and to get a jump start of learning the system and just learning that much more. I don't think that's going to be the case. He's going to play. I think you're going to end up needing to play multiple quarterbacks. But it seems to make a lot of sense that the guy that knows the system, that is experienced in the system, that has been with these guys is the starting quarterback right now. And it would take probably a lot to make a change. We've seen crazy things in, Sam. I'll never forget, when we were thinking, it's been a long time. There was an upperclassman that we were thought going to start a game, his first career start, Matt Gutierrez.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that couldn't happen. I don't think that could happen now because information travels a lot quicker than it did back then. Not that was that long ago, but it was still long enough ago in the information age. But so something like that's probably a lot harder to happen. So I'll never say never. But, yes, if I was asked today who I think is going to be the starting quarterback and would I put, a pretty confident number on it, it would be Cade McNamara. But never say never, Sam.
Yeah, it was, you're right, worthy to remember that. But I just, especially in the circumstance that they're in now, you remember they're coming off a Big Ten championship. I mean, you're talking about a program and, there was – as far as the riskiness of it and what it could mean if Chad struggled early or if they had a season where they didn't quite live up to expectations, not that you go into a season expecting that you are going to not perform well, but no one was thinking that this doesn't work. It could be our jobs. That was not on the line. Plus, you also had the luxury. Remember what he had around him on that team. I mean, you had an awesome security blanket in Braylon Edwards out there that could that could take some of the pressure off, a proven performer that could take some of the pressure off a guy like Chad Henne in that particular instance. Whereas you look at this offense, and while we think the weapons around the quarterback are all going to be improved, think they're going to be improved on the offensive line. I think their receivers are going to be the performance of the receivers going to be a step up over last year, and definitely the rushing attack, the running back position, is talent wise is as strong as it's been. Still, that proven top shelf elite performer, yeah, you know, quite have that kind of established security blanket yet. Not anything compared to Braylon Edwards. So a few things that make this scenario different, but you're absolutely right. Never say never. Competition will be, competition will be at the forefront at every position, including quarterback in fall camp. I just think for Cade McNamara not to be the guy, I think he'll have to falter in games. Unless he just, had a complete 180 as a performer and was throwing it to the other team all fall camp. And I'd be surprised if that were to happen, or, injury is always a factor, but, goes without saying that taking injury out of the equation.
Yeah, so all these conversations are about a healthy squad entering the fall.
Yeah, I think it would take him faltering in game. So, again, but back to the original point, best of luck to Joe. That is the story of what happened. Dre, our friend Dre was one of the ones who sent that message in. So, what? Gotta explain to me what happened with Joe. He did not trust the situation anymore. I think he still feels like he got wronged in getting benched. And I just, you didn't have a choice. There was not a choice at that point. You could not justify not going to Cade McNamara at that point. That he was the starter still in the Rutgers game, right? I mean, after the struggles in the Wisconsin game, there were folks that were like, hey, man, you got to make Cade the starter now. And he still had the opportunity to start the Rutgers game. And there was a tangible difference in performance when Cade got in that contest. And we all remember it. So you couldn't justify keeping him in the starting role at that point.
And Sam, it is in his position, a kid that's been here 3 years that also has 3 years of eligibility remaining. But who are the coaches? Sometimes you have to have that reminder too. Who are the coaches that brought him in? Who are the guys that were his guys, like that he thought were his guys that were going to groom him, right? Isn't one of them the, where's Pep now, right? So it's the coaches that, that were the coaches that he came into to play under. It doesn't mean that he didn't necessarily like the new coaches per se, but, coaches have their guys sometimes. I'm just generally speaking, coaches, you players come in, they're recruited by one coach and a different coach is now here. It's a different system, a slightly different system than when you first got here. Things do change. There are other circumstances too that go along with everything that you're saying that can play. There are a lot of, and the fact is when kids are making these decisions, we have these conversations and there's always one, two, three, or who knows how many talking points that are in their mind that we have absolutely no idea about just because we can't get in their heads and they're not going to tell everything that goes into the decision process if they're actually having conversations with people outside the family.
I certainly can't speak to that. I know his trainer and I was talking to him about it and he was like, man, no, they really didn't have a, they made the right call. I mean, that was coming from his trainer. They made the right call when they went to the other company. Again, at the end of the day, it boils down to what he thinks. And I think that he thinks it was the wrong call. And at the end of the day, water under the bridge, you wish him well in his new endeavor. And hopefully, his experience at Michigan can prepare him to take the reins there and hold on to the reins, not just take the reins, because I don't think he transfers there without an assurance that he's the guy. And in talking to some people behind the scenes, and there is some Michigan flavor on that staff now, as we all know. Pretty clear he's going to be the guy. But can he hold on to that spot? Remains to be seen. 6:44 on a Monday or Tuesday morning. Excuse me. Got more to get to. Before we get to this break, though, Mr. Weintraub, You love the links. Have you played the course out at the Polo Fields?
I have played the course at the Polo Fields, a few golf outings, and a few times playing my own. I wish I could tell you what I shot on the course. I do not remember, so I probably didn't play that well. But it's a, I do remember one of the outings I played at, Sam. They have, it's a beautiful green golf course. It's very well manicured. It's kept in great shape. And it's always fun to be on a golf course and occasionally see a little bit of wildlife. We had a deer run across like the second tier of the second fairway, or I can't remember, I think it was the second or third hole. It's a couple of years ago now, but it just, we're getting ready to tee off. And next thing you know, we're like, we may want to hold up a second because we have a target in the middle of the course. He just ran across and he went off to take care of his business in the, you know, the next set of woods or whatever. And it's fun as you're driving around, but a really scenic course, challenging at times, very forgiving at times. And a lot of fun to go out there with the friends to play on a course like that because, yeah, as I said, you have the challenges and you have those moments where you're trying to be a little creative, but at the same time, not every shot's going to penalize you if you don't necessarily hit a very good shot. And so, and plus, Sam hasn't played there, so the course is in great shape.
I've been invited, though. Listen, folks.
18, to drive the beer cart, Sam.
18 championship holes on the golf course, the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club, and a great opportunity for you. Join the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club by June 30th, and you'll receive a brand new TaylorMade Sim 2 Max D driver.
It's a nice driver,
2021 TaylorMade Flex Tech crossover stand-up golf bag, and a $300 dining credit. And you heard us talk about the great food, you know, right there that's offered by Kitchen Door at Polo Fields. Just great, fine, and casual dining. New outdoor patio overlooking the golf course. You know, indoor, the clubhouse, grill room is outstanding. They have kids' activities and camp, fully equipped fitness center, additional classes such as yoga and Pilates also offered, resort-style outdoor pool and hot tub. Hot tub, as Ira mentioned, just a great opportunity to join them now. And, of course, again, the championship golf course, the variety of practice options, long range to grass tee range, short game practice area with bunker. You got all the bells and whistles out at the Polo Fields Golf and Country Club. And you're going to be out there very soon, right, Mr. Weintraub?
I plan on being out there very soon with, I got to get this through today and tomorrow, right? We got to get past this weather, whatever this is going to do. But once this clears and we get back into the 60s, the first or second 65 degree sunny day, yes, I will be on the course at Polo Fields loosening up the swing. Because for me, once the Masters hits, I'm ready to play. Watch 4 days of the Masters on TV, and I'm ready to go out there and play some golf. And so we just here in Michigan need the weather to be consistently nice so that I can warm up those golf muscles and get out there and play. And so, yeah, my guess is within the next 2 weeks, I will be on the links over there at the Polo Fields, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, folks, it's 6:47 on a Tuesday morning. We got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.